lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republic podcast.
Jimmy boy, how we going?
Back, mate. We are back. Same thing we say at the start of every podcast. You go, how you going? I go, we're back.
We're back. Raise the bat 150 episodes.
I know. Well done. Well done, boys. Curdy, thanks for all your help.
Yeah, no, it's been a great journey, guys. Another tiny little milestone.
Yeah. I know, we kind of just realised literally about 30 seconds ago how much is on our minds.
Big night tonight. We're talking Qatar F1. We're talking some team changes going to MotoGP 27. Obviously, we'll have our Patreon app post our normal episode as well. And hot takes, of course.
Hot takes. We've got another top five list for MotoGP best title defences as well.
Okay.
Which might leave a bit of a bitter taste in people's mouths, I reckon. Maybe the number one.
Is he Italian?
I'm not saying anything, mate. Italian, Spanish, Aussie, could be any of them.
Well, let's get started with, of course, just thanking our partners at Motor Heaven once and as always. Thank you for the ongoing support, guys. Get involved with them. Jump on their website if you're looking for any motorcycle accessory needs.
Yeah, they've still got some good deals on. I think 10% off Shoei helmets, that Ixon airbag deal they've got. And they've got like a Alice 2 helmet deal as well, which is really good. I think it's up to 40% off their helmets, so it's pretty crazy.
And guys, YouTube, Instagram, like, subscribe if you can. Like the video. We really appreciate all the help on there. So makes us great again, you know?
Yeah, exactly right. And head over to our Patreon, patreon.com/MotorsportRepublica. Yeah, check us out there. We do some good, obviously, our extra chats weekly, and we do some posts and stuff. We talk to you guys about favorite, you know, races and tracks. We did our testing stuff as well when testing was on, like a live chat. So head over to our Patreon. All the love is much appreciated.
Yes, get involved in that. Where do we start with F1, eh?
Yeah, bro.
I never thought I would see a bigger botched World Championship effort that's happening at the moment. It is just unbelievable what I'm witnessing.
Well, we had a bit of a chat this morning, and you are right. It's very funny, like what's happening. But you're kind of like, I'm glad they did it. Otherwise, it could have been the most boring race of all time. But yes, at least it added some excitement to it.
Yeah, it was. Obviously, yeah, if you guys didn't watch it, it was 25 lap maximum stint on the tires. Yeah. So you had to get to lap 7. And then you could pit, and then 25-25 to the end, and safety car on lap 7.
Yeah.
And McLaren did not bring Oscar Piastri or Lando Norris in, which is just the biggest joke of the year. Because I think it was they didn't want to favor each driver or something along the lines of that. But the whole rest of the field came in, gave everyone a completely free pit stop, which on paper, you would do all day of the week.
Yeah, that's right. They always talk about the free pit stop.
All day of the week. So I really, what we're witnessing is just something of just a massive balls up arrogance from the whole that McLaren team. I just don't understand
it
at all.
Is it just because they don't, as you said, don't want to favor anyone? They're just too scared to almost make a decision.
I think so. It's I've been on record saying that I don't think they are favoring Piastri as much as what everybody's saying here in this country.
Keyword as much.
As much, yeah. I mean, I think there's naturally going to be a bit of favoritism there with the history that he's had with the team and everything and these certain decisions that they do make. But yeah, I mean, just all day of the week, you just bring both the drivers in. Yeah, Lando would have had to stack, may have lost a couple of positions, but they had clearly the fastest car.
Mm.
And Piastri was clearly the fastest all weekend, did all the right things, qualified up there, won the sprint race, should have won the main race, and then I can't believe Max just is there to pick up the pieces once again. I just, yeah, he was 100 points behind, you know, with like 6 or 7 races ago, and then now he's back 12 points behind going into the last race. It's just, yeah, I never thought I'd see the day.
I wonder if Max is just laughing at watching this all unravel in front of him and then really getting him back into the championship like he has, because it's just, it's kind of unraveled right in front of his eyes, which is hilarious.
What's just the most amazing? Curtis is up.
Speaking about Verstappen laughing, they put a joke in front of his Formula One car, so the car's the same as last week when they were trying to figure out what was going on in the car.
Yeah, no, it's a really good point. So yeah, they had all the media were there when the Red Bull team unveiled their car for the weekend. They just had a sign at the front saying, same as last week. Because they were thinking maybe Red Bull were going to bring new updates or new wings or stuff. And they said, we're not developing this car because there's new rules coming next year. And it's amazing we're still in it, you know. So, very good point there, Curtis.
Cody, all over it. Social media, man. But it's just crazy. Like, he must just be laughing the whole way through going, these guys are idiots.
Yeah, he's going to rue that dummy spin he had in Spain. Yeah. 9 points it was he lost. And, you know, that would have made it a 3-point turnaround. And then
that's anyone's game then.
Well, it's anyone's game. As long as you finish in front of the McLaren, you win the championship. So, it changes the whole thing. The way that Kimi Antonelli did a 2008 Timo Glock.
What's the go there?
Well, I know there's massive things that have come out today over it. There's massive hate for Antonelli. I don't think there was anything untoward because he's... I think he's even disconnected his Instagram or something along the lines of that because the hate he's getting. So, and Helmut Marko came out and accused Antonelli of just letting Norris pass. Toto Wolff responded with that saying how ridiculous. It just seemed so fabricated, didn't it? It was so perfect and then just sort of ran wide with a lap and a bit to go.
So they're saying that Antonelli's camp is saying that he just ran wide accidentally. What do you think? But like, are they mates? Are they tight mates?
No,
is there any logical reason why he would do
that? No, there's no logical reason at all. And they're all like, at the end of the day, they're all in it for themselves. Alonso backed the pack up and actually probably saved McLaren's day to a certain extent because if he didn't back that pack up, Lando would have been probably 6 or 7 cars in traffic and had no straight line speed.
Mm.
He had DRS on Antonelli, didn't even get an inch closer to him. So they obviously set their cars up to be at the front and not having to pass through the field, which obviously ended up being a big mistake. But yeah, back to Antonelli, I don't think. And the rumor mill for F1, it just goes out of control. And you know, the things like Helmut Marko, Max's crew chief came on the radio, said the same thing. It doesn't help this situation, but you know, who knows? It could have been something. Like, you just don't, you'll never know.
Well, I would love to think it's something, but just logically, I'm just thinking, like, what is in it for, like, are they, if they were really close mates and we knew they were really close mates or whatever, I'd be thinking, okay, there has to be something involved there, but it just doesn't seem like, I don't know what Antonelli would gain.
I think the hatred still between Mercedes and Red Bull might be still lingering there, and that's where everyone's getting their fire or their petrol to the fire, because Mercedes don't want to see Red Bull win another championship. Just putting it out there. I'm not 100% sure on that, obviously. But
how many comments did you say to that one?
No, that's just something I just thought of.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the only thing that I can think of would be the thing, because that 2021 championship obviously would still linger in a lot of brains in the Mercedes camp.
Mm.
But, you know, getting on the radio and saying, let him pass, we wouldn't know if that happened, you know? Like, we would know, we would find out if that happened, and I'm assuming it didn't, so.
Don't that, but you can block things from going on to the...
There's secret radios and stuff, yeah. Yeah.
You can block. They got the bat phone of radios.
Well, I don't know. I don't actually know. It's really good if someone could tell us, maybe Curtis could go to Google this one for us. But they have a certain amount of radio calls per race that they can do as secret calls, so...
I remember you talking about that. I don't remember what the number was, though. I don't think it was many.
No. I think it's, you know, as I think George Russell came out and said, imagine if we put a mic on you at the most stressful part of your job and to say, wouldn't you think you'd say things you'd regret? And it's smack on. Like, it's true.
I would. I'd be called a fascist, a sexist, a racist,
transphobic.
Transphobic. I want to shake your hand.
So, it's pretty crazy with Team Rose.
It is a good point.
And they're talking about that with MotoGP as well, which they're obviously going to be massively against. So, I had a bit of a telecast issue. I don't know if you faced this morning, but like, there was a big delay on the sound versus the vision. So the commentators almost called it and then it happened on TV.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, okay. You normally get a tiny little bit of that. You cross down to Ted in the pit lane and there's a pit stop and a tyre change. And then he goes, oh, it's a good stop, but they're still stationary. Mm. So you can sort of, there's a bit of a delay there. But I don't know. I had it sort of, I reckon, at least 1 or 2 second delay or race of just the autistic mind just crumbled.
Bro, like, you've been autistic as fuck tonight.
Because he was like, oh! And it was like, nothing happened. Then it happened. I was like, what the fuck's going on? So
your mind's actually working too fast at 6 a.m.
It did. I think I might run that from now on. I love getting up early and watching it. I don't know. For me, it's just so much better. You're awake. You can watch it. You're not tired. You're not trying to like falling asleep halfway through the race.
Well, yeah, F1 especially because it finishes at like 1 a.m.
Yeah, I think I might run that for next year. I don't know what you guys think at home, but I think that might be the way to go because 11 o'clock start. It's just when you're like 18-year-old kid, it's fine. Going to school the next day or 17-year-old kid. Once you got to get up and go to work and do this at night, it fucking makes it hard.
Yeah, so. It fries you a bit. It definitely fries
you. But I had it perfectly down pat. You set your alarm at 5:50. You get up. You have the pre-race show for 10 minutes while you're making your coffee. And then the race starts bang on 6.
Just coffee?
Yeah, just coffee. Yeah. Got to fast in the morning till lunch, James. 18-hour fast.
18-hour fast.
Oh, no, don't include the bowl of ice cream or the chocolates I had at midnight at 10 o'clock the night before, but...
You know, I don't have breakfast either. Fuck
nah, that. Breakfast is a fucking scam.
Yeah.
It was a scam from the start. The guy from Kellogg's made a commercial about how important it was, and that's how it all started. Do you know that?
Like with Weet-Bix or something?
Yeah, he said like, it's the most important meal of the day. It was like a commercial on TV.
Yeah.
And then everyone thought, oh, it must be the most, you know, the most important meal of the day. But he just did that so everyone would eat his bloody cornflakes.
Fucking smart.
Yeah.
I actually feel so much better when I don't eat breakfast, to be honest.
Now, what I haven't done is results, James. So let me run you through that. So, Max Verstappen first. Oh, my God.
I have my voice. Most or all radio will go through FOM, and then it goes through radio and telemetry. They will leave out stuff for televisions, essentially, if it's too private of information, so no other team can get a scoop. Mercedes have on their rotary wheel certain buttons they can press as well when engineers ask how the tires go and to press it so it doesn't actually get recorded. Just press and go, this is how the tires are going. You press 1, 2, or 3 if it's good, shit, or all right.
Yeah.
So Lewis Hamilton used to use that quite a bit and now he's with Ferrari and Ferrari is Ferrari.
Enough said.
He'll press the wrong button, the car's four wheels just blow off. It's Ferrari. Results. Sorry.
Max Verstappen first, Oscar Piastri second, Carlos Sainz third. Lando Norris 4th, Antonelli 5th, George Russell 6th, Fernando Alonso 7th, Charles Leclerc 8th, Liam Lawson 9th, and Yuki Tsunoda 10th.
Yeah, right. I like it. Yuki Tsunoda 10th.
Yeah, it was a strange race for that probably Alonso Russell group back because it was just a DRS train pretty much the whole race. So it was really a fight for the top 5 positions and it reflects that on the times, you know.
Is Qatar a good track for Formula 1?
No, it's not. It's very hard to pass. Yeah, extremely hard to pass. So maybe probably some of the reasons why they bought this 25-lap old tire limit in for the race. So you couldn't do more than 25 laps on any set of tires. It was obviously brought in for safety because a few years ago it was just so hot and then tires were exploding pretty much. So that made the race more exciting like they did in Monaco with the mandatory 2-stop. But no, it's not a good track at all. It was we took that whole battle of the McLarens and Verstappen out of it, it would have been a pretty boring race. So that's sort of the only thing that made it exciting. That's what I said to you, James. If everyone pitted on lap 7, it would have been the world's boringest race. Yeah. I can tell you that for free.
Yeah.
And you saw that. There's just nowhere to pass. And that front straight, yeah, it's long, but it's it's a very fast first corner on the Formula One car. It's not big enough braking point to have, you know, to throw it up the inside. It's just too dangerous. You saw there was a couple of incidents over the race as well. So, yeah, it's not a good race. Much better for MotoGP. And you were saying this morning how different it looks. Yeah, I didn't even notice that.
It's so different. So, like, even just the first, like, the straight and then even the first sector is just full of grandstands. Like, and it was packed. And you just wouldn't see that with MotoGP. Like, it is just the main grandstand and desert. Where there's extended grandstands going down the straight and then all the way on the outside of the first 3 or 4 corners.
Yeah, there's plenty of Aussies there as well. It's amazing. As soon as you get a little bit closer, and I always call it the one flight theory. So you'll get more people at events if it's only one flight to get there.
Yeah.
So Melbourne to Qatar, Melbourne to Doha would be one flight, plenty of airlines choices, so it wouldn't be too expensive. So you get a lot of Aussies there.
Yeah.
When you start going to like the Dutch Grand Prix, like Schmidty, like you got to jump on 3 planes to get there.
Yeah.
You know, it makes it a much harder thing. So it was good to see a few Aussies there. But yeah, it's something I didn't really notice, to be honest. I mean, I'm just...
Packed, man. It was fucking... I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I can't believe how many people went over. Like, it shouldn't shock me because it's Formula One. It's like the most fucking popular sport these days. Yeah. But even there, just seeing all those grand... I'm like... It took me a few laps. I'm like, why does it look different? Why is, I'm like, maybe it's obviously different camera angles of F1 and stuff. And I'm like, duh, it's a fucking grandstands and how many people are there? It was just insane.
Mm.
But that's F1 these days. Like,
yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? And like it's these countries, it's these countries that, you know, you never think they would bring a big, like Bahrain, for instance, used to have nobody there when they had the race. And it was the first race of the year. But then everyone's turning up to every Grand Prix. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Jimmy, we always talk about the OG fans on this podcast, but what about the OG sponsors? Mate,
the OG sponsor, motoheaven.com.au T-Shabs. They've been with us from the start. The absolute start. How good's that?
They're amazing. Amazing organization.
They are the best. All orders go in the draw to win $250 gift card every month, T-Shabs. So you can spend anything at motoheaven.com.au and you automatically go in the draw to win a $250 gift card every single month.
Amazing. There's no excuses there.
Nope. It's Australia's largest range online. And we challenge the fans to use the website. The usability of the website is the absolute best. Even you and I can find the tools or the helmets or whatever we need for our motorcycle.
Guys, they have the best parts finder in the business. And it's also free shipping over
$150.
Awesome.
Head to motoheaven.com.au. They are the OG sponsors for our OG fans.
That incredible drive from Carlos Sainz as well. You know, Williams' second podium for the year. I mean, it's fantastic for them and that team because every point counts. And
boost, such a boost.
Millions and millions and millions of dollars that they get going up the Constructors' Championship. So for that, amazing. He's had a really topsy-turvy year, but he'll come out very, very happy in the end. Very happy.
That's good. I really like that. It's good to see. And, you know, it's nice and just it's always refreshing in Formula One to see just not a main factory up there. Like, when obviously Williams was up there for a long time, but just to see them even competing in the top six is just nice to see.
Yeah.
The podiums is extra special.
So yeah, where does this leave us for next week? Last year McLaren dominated Yas Marina, but anything can happen, as you saw last night. Lando's got to finish third to win the championship. I think it's a shoe-in for Lando because I think you're going to have the top three. You're going to have Max, you're going to have Lando, and you're going to have Oscar. Now, even if Oscar's second and Lando's fourth, you know, Max is going to win the championship. So they're just going to call Oscar in.
That's right.
They'll just pull him out, put him in the pits, or just slightly him to slow down. And
it just has to be a disaster
for
Max to win. Really.
It really made a massive difference. That 10 points to 12 points that he got, you know, for passing Antonelli. It goes from you finish third and you win to you have to finish second. Mm. And that makes a big difference.
Huge.
So, yeah, it's because they're all even on 7 race wins. And if you made the assumption that Max was going to win, he has to finish second then to win the championship. Now, again, it still might have been a shoe-in because it could have been, you know, Oscar in second and Lando in third. But that's my prediction is we'll see Oscar fast, but we'll see Oscar at some point pull over for him next round, which will be, after the year they've had. I just hope he comes back from this. I'm sure he will, but yeah, the look on Mark Webber's face, death staring Zach Brown post-race was telling.
And, you know, we're going into new regs next year for Oscar, so like we don't know what that car's going to be compared to, I'm sure, you don't know. It doesn't take much to really royally screw up their design and how fast they can go compared to Mercedes. Yeah.
It's a great example is George Russell. He was with Williams, you know, for probably 2 years too long, watching Mercedes dominate. And that was his ride, yeah? And Bottas, you know, probably was there at least a year too long. And if he got into that car a year earlier when it was dominating, he could have done something. But he finally moves to Mercedes in 22, and the car's done. It's done. You know, the domination's gone. It's a Red Bull era now, and then now was going to be a McLaren era, but yeah, I mean, Max is just doing Max things. The sleeping lion's awoken.
It's amazing. Like, and it's not even like he's always fallen asleep to a degree, but like, just talk about clawing your way back, and it just doesn't help when you've got, you know, McLaren making such stupid decisions like that. But if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be Max.
Yeah.
How much of a if Max won it, which I really don't think he will, but if he did win it, where does that rank with all his championships and championships in general? Because that comeback is huge.
Yeah, it's probably, I think 2021 will still be superior, but yeah, it's probably, it's got to be second best. It's where he's come from. What he's doing is he's going, if it happens, it happens. And and probably putting the pressure all onto McLaren.
It's always going to be on McLaren.
And, you know, he's not making any stupid moves, not anything banzai. He's just putting the car in the right spot, getting good starts, staying out of trouble, and just getting the result. I mean, McLaren's clearly got the faster car, and he's just doing the right things. And he'd be pissing himself laughing right now. Mm. Like, he'd be going, how the fuck did I win that race? Oscar was dominating the race.
And you know? Like, he's even like made comments to how McLaren's fucked it up and like how it just wouldn't fly with him.
But you know what? This championship will go down and yeah, Lando's probably going to win, but it's just, it's going to have a massive asterisk against it. Like, no one gave a fuck. Really, no one cares. Like,
that's weird.
No one cares about you winning. You were the young kid on the block and you were loved, and now you're majority of people going, ugh, Lando, who cares? What a shit team.
Yeah.
Mediocre team. You know, and look, I think Piastri's lost fans as well, and it's not for not all he's doing, but he really needed to step up when it mattered, and he didn't. And yeah, he's doing something now in these high grip tracks because obviously that's his strength. I mean, but to win a championship, you got to be good every week, you know.
You got to be good every week, and you just got to pull in points and just majority points. Yeah. Every
on a
week.
Bad day, you still finish on the podium.
Fuck yeah, especially know? In Formula One.
Yeah.
Actually, in any motorsport, bad day, if you want to be a champion, you really still, you got to finish on the podium.
Well, they say that you're only as good as your bad days. Like, it's the bad days win the championships because he shouldn't have crashed in Brazil. You know, he made blunders in the last
Baku,
six races.
Yeah.
It's for him, it's just one thing after another. And then he comes back to Qatar, probably one of his favorite tracks, and should have won and still doesn't. So, yeah. As he said, post-race on the radio, I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. So am I.
Curdy, what do you got?
Also, he put a post out, I think, on Instagram with no caption whatsoever, just him looking down at his trophy with no happy face whatsoever in sight. It was just that.
Yeah, right.
And all the comments are all in agreement going, yeah, he's not happy.
Yeah, well, he's not. Like, but that's the pressures of, you know, fighting for a world championship. It really makes or breaks someone. You know, it can either pull, you know, it can make you such a better driver or rider. And I'm not saying it's made Piastri a worse driver, but you finally found the cracks.
Yeah.
And that's what pressure does to you as well.
Yeah, it's, you know, going back to this, that's lap seven when they could have just bought one of their drivers in, but they're just too worried about the ramifications of favoring one person. They just needed to, you know, they just need to make the decision. So
it is a rock and a hard place for McLaren. I can understand that. But they've done it to themselves as well.
Yeah. Well, they should have just bought both of them in. I mean, it would have.
Well, when everyone else is.
Well, when everyone else is. Now, they didn't know that everyone else was coming in.
Yeah,
because
they were in the front.
But they would have had meeting after meeting after meeting. And the first meeting was, if you get to lap seven and there's a safety car, you come into the pits. That should have been the number one priority.
Surely they would know the maths on that.
100% they would have. But they thought to themselves, no. And I'm sure they thought to themselves, not everyone was going to come in, but everybody did. So,
because when, sorry, Cody, just quickly, when Max was out by 14 seconds and it's like Oscar's trying to try and chase him down, I was like, there's no way.
Mm.
There's no way he's getting 14 seconds on him, Cody.
Came out after the race that Andrea Stella said that if they were to take him in, Norris would have been behind Piastri as a double stack, and they would thought that would have ruin their chances with Norris, so to speak. And then everyone's gone, well, what if it was the other way around?
Yeah, if it was the other way around, I'm telling you, they would have brought both of them in.
Yeah.
If Norris was leading, they would have brought both of them in, 1,000%. So that's when we talk about the favoritism, not all completely there, but it's lingering.
Still a bit of tism.
Yeah.
Not full favoritism, but a little bit of tism.
And like, it's naturally going to happen. It naturally happened at Mercedes with Hamilton. And Rosberg, and probably Hamilton and Bottas. Well, definitely happened with Hamilton and Bottas, but it just lingers. Alonso at Ferrari, you know, over the years it happens.
Never works, bro.
No.
Two fast teammates just never work.
It never has. In the history of the sport, it never has. Michael Schumacher, classic example. He had Rubens Barrichello just at his side. Lewis Hamilton won all these championships, but he was best friends with Rosberg when they signed, and now they don't talk to each other.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You know, they grew up together.
Yeah.
Webber and Vettel, they hated each other. They just royally hated each other. It just never, never worked. Nope. So
never does. Never so. Does. And he's four wheels or two wheels. There's so many different examples and it just doesn't work.
And yeah, as you said before, there's not much they can do. They're damned if they do, damned if they don't. But damned if they don't. But yeah, it would be incredible next Sunday night if fucking... Verstappen does it again.
If he wins it again, it would
I just can't. It's going to be box office stuff, though. Like,
it would be huge.
Like, anything can happen. We know back to 2021, Latifi hit the wall, safety car out. Anything can happen. So
maybe Tsunoda just needs to get his Japanese roots and do a fucking banzai move in the summer.
Kamikaze.
Oh, that's it. Aigura. Yeah, do an Aigura. Fucking hell. Seriously.
So yeah, but yeah, bring on next week.
Bring on next week, mate. Yeah. All right, is it top five time, big dog?
Top five, yes.
Top five, all right, for our MotoGP listeners. We are ranking Tom Chevalier, our top five best title defenses.
How exciting.
This was a tricky one to do because, I don't know why it's done that. This was a tricky one to do. Because I'm just trying to think of title defenses, but there's so many riders that have won a title and that backed it up. And it's the year that they back it up. So if you win in 2006, I'm talking about 2007. And you got to, that's the title you won. Title,
very
title
on league. Topic at the moment because the last two champions have had very difficult, to say the least, title defenses.
Yeah, well, yeah. Bagnaia went down to the wild, but fucking Jorge Martin very much, very, very much struggled. All right. Now, the first one is... Sorry, my...
I'd love to know, just on that, I'd love to know in the last time... Actually, Curtis, you could look this up for us. The last time in the history of 500/MotoGP that there's been three different winners for the last 3 years.
What was that question?
So, three different world champions for the last 3 years in MotoGP. When's the last time that's happened?
06, 07, 08.
Oh, there you go.
Hayden, Stoner, Case. Rossi.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Curtis.
That's 6, 7, 8. Yep. 6, 7, 8 would be my guess. All right, T-Shavs, here we go. Top five best MotoGP title defenses. It was Valentino Rossi's 2002 season, so defending 2001. So 2001 was the last year, the 500cc two-strokes, and it was the first year of the four-strokes.
Oh, there was still a couple of two-strokes rolling around there, wasn't there?
There was. There definitely was, which was a weird year. Very, very strange year, but... one of the last big, obviously, probably the last big regulation change as well before coming up into this year. Valentino Rossi destroyed the season, destroyed everyone with the help of the might of HRC. They just threw their entire budget at it. But he had 11 wins out of 16 races. First year on the four strokes, that Honda was easily probably one of the best bikes ever built and just destroyed everyone. But it is very iconic because he backed it up from a two-stroke to a four-stroke. You know, and it just doesn't, it's one of the best championship defenses ever, really.
Yep.
Now number four is, I think, Marc Marquez's 2014 season. First 10 races he won.
Jeez, that's tough four. I thought they'd be higher, James.
Bro, that's pretty crazy for a second year. It's like Pedro Costa's year now.
And he's won 10, so the 10. Straight, he still hasn't, he's not even the top three.
Yeah.
Get out.
That's wild, isn't it?
That's rough.
Well, look, he won the first 10, absolutely obliterated everyone. Yes, he did drop off at the end of the year. Fucking stupid idiot. but he obviously, as a rookie, won the title in his first year and then to back it up and does that is incredible. But that is number four, Tom. So.
It's amazing looking back at those two seasons to think... He was a rookie. Like, it just wouldn't happen these days. It
wouldn't happen. First MotoGP title as a rookie and then to obviously defend it immediately. Like, it is incredible.
And it's a lot of the time, it's their second year that the struggles start. And obviously, for Mark, it was his third year. But that's for another top five, I suppose.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, that's our top five third years in MotoGP. number three is the title defense of 2018 to 2019. Obviously, Marquez is on a roll, but probably the most single dominant MotoGP title defense ever. 12 wins, 18 podiums in 19 races. And I believe that year in 2019, he crashed in Coda, where he should have actually won. So just absolutely obliterated everyone, wrapped up the title super early. And basically that season was just almost pure perfection, really. Like just the lowest finish he had that year, Tom, was second.
Amazing.
When he finished the race. Like, that's absolutely incredible. So it's a hard one. That's only number three. Number two is Mick Doohan's bro. He won five in a row, but for the 98 season, it's just realistically just a most dominant title defense run ever.
Mm.
You know, like there was no one really touching him. Obviously, Cruvier and him, talk about teammates and talk about teammates that didn't get along and were too fast. I think he obviously defined a lot of the 500cc era and those five titles, and all his title defenses has to put him up there. We're talking four successful title defenses.
Yeah, it's amazing. It probably goes down in Australian history. We don't talk about it as much, I don't think, but yeah, in the MotoGP community, it is known as... And a lot of people defend that. Everyone talks about Rossi and everyone talks about Marquez. They go, well, don't forget about Mick Doohan.
That's right.
You know, to come back from that, you know... injuries and
that massive leg injury.
So and to win five in a row, which we know in modern day anything is hard. You know, back in the '60s and the '70s when, you know, some of them were on fucking 1,000cc bikes, some are on bloody 250cc. It's a bit different. You know what I'm saying?
Not regulated.
Not looking at anyone in particular. Bloody Giancarlo Fisichella.
But yeah, no, it's just just completely untouchable for those years, and I think just for that title defenses is very, very iconic and should be talked about more in Australian sport, I reckon.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing. Number one, the best title defense of all time has to be Valentino Rossi's 2004 season. Going from Honda, the untouchable Tom, the untouchable Honda, to the Yamaha, which didn't do anything. It was a terrible motorcycle. He couldn't even test it in the Valencia test.
What's the equivalent of that now?
Like the Yamaha now.
That bad.
How the mighty have fallen. It was that bad. Like,
do you say to those people that talk about he got favored with tires and things, James? What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, he definitely did. He definitely had he got favored with tires, but he still had the talent to go out there and win. And to win his last race on Honda and then his first race in Yamaha in South Africa is incredible. And then to go on and win that championship on a brand new manufacturer. Early regs of four-stroke MotoGP, but that Honda was untouchable, like absolutely untouchable. I believe in the year before, there was 19 races, Honda won 18 of them along the lines of that. I think Ducati might have won one.
It's an iconic moment in South Africa when he won that race and got off at the front and sort of great celebration. You always remember that.
Kisses the front of the bike. Mm. Has a battle with Max Biaggi, who basically took his Honda and is up against him in South Africa and for the championship and wins. And with Sede Gibernau as well. Like, 9 victories on that Yamaha brings him back to the promised land for a lot of years. And I think for the best title defense, 2 different manufacturers going to the worst bike, arguably the worst bike, and to win the title is probably cemented his legacy, really, didn't it?
Yeah. It's a great list. It's a great list. Anyone at home has anyone to add to that? Would love to hear.
Yeah, definitely.
As well. 2 Rossis and 2 of Marquez's, so make everyone happy, eh?
I hope so, but the Marquez fans won't be happy because... Rossi's number one. But it was hard because I'm trying to put like Lorenzo or Casey Stoner in there, but they never backed it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could have put Bagnaia's one in there, but I just don't think it was as good as those 5, that's for sure.
No, 100%. Probably a close 6th.
Maybe. Tom Chevy, like, there's some news in MotoGP. How is this for talk, though? VR46 to Aprilia, Tech 3 to Ducati, and Trackhouse to Honda.
Mm. So there's a domino effect there, isn't there? So it's all going to be up to what VR46 do, I think, is the main...
I believe so, because... They all kind of go, like, Trackhouse can just kind of go to Honda. They really want to.
It's funny. I was really thinking about this over the weekend. I'm thinking...
Oh, yeah. Like, it is a domino effect, yeah.
What I was thinking with Rossi, I'm like, oh, I don't see him leaving Ducati. But then I think to myself, he doesn't really have any affiliation with Ducati at all, except the country.
Yeah.
You know, he raced for them those 2 years, but, you know, obviously terribly. And there's a real fractured... Not a fractured relationship there, but I think that it would make more sense going to an Aprilia factory, you know, Italian team as well. I've always thought that BMW would come into the sport with Rossi, but that does seem to be, you know, less and less as the years go by. And I don't think you'd want to go on a Yamaha because it's social suicide at the moment.
It is social suicide, even though he's a Yamaha ambassador. It makes no sense. But there's strong rumors, and I think it's known that VR46 want to be factory-backed. They want two factory bikes.
So what will happen is, talking about domino effect, yeah, you know, VR will sign with Aprilia. Then obviously Trackhouse will have to find another manufacturer. So they'll go to Honda.
Which is six Hondas on the grid, which is Honda's not opposed to doing.
And then you've got, Tech 3D Ducati, which that just opens that spot. But that's probably the one for me that I don't understand. I mean, there's no real affiliation over the years with them and Ducati, is there?
Absolutely not, but...
French team. Italian bikes.
Yeah, I don't know. It does. If anything, if Tech 3 stayed at Ducati, VR46 went to Aprilia and Trackhouse went to Honda, that actually evens out a lot of the manufacturers. It keeps four bikes for each team, just about.
Yeah, and then six for both Ducati and Honda, which are the two biggest players in the game.
Yeah.
So that would make sense.
I can understand why like a Tech 3 would want to go to Ducati because they've had so much success, like look at Gresini.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And even VR46 to a degree, where KTM are obviously on struggle street, or maybe they know something that we don't know.
When's the last time this has happened? A big team switched? Like Trackhouse was... what was Trackhouse before Trackhouse?
Nah, that was like... Then they didn't have a satellite Aprilia. So Gresini was... factory Aprilia for a while. Then they were factory Honda as well. There was Gresini Honda, which was Marco Simoncelli's bike.
Yeah, San Carlo.
And VR46 has obviously always
been... It's just funny. It hasn't happened in the last 5 years, I'm going to say.
At least, yeah.
Yeah, so it's something that the modern MotoGP fan wouldn't be used to, but this is what's going to be changing in the future. So it's exciting. It's exciting to see.
Yeah, like teams normally stay in MotoGP as well. Like there's a... Pons Honda, which was Camel Honda. Chris Vermeulen raced for Biaggi and all that. They were in there for a bit. But it's always, it's always kind of been like your Tech 3's been in there for years. Your LCR's always been in there for, since the Stoner days. Like, they hang around for a long time. So,
Because the... Trackhouse were R&F Racing, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And then they got done for...
Razlan Razli.
They ran out of money or something, didn't they? And then...
Malaysian.
Trackhouse bought them and then the rest is history, so...
Bro, they had Valentino Rossi on that. Rossi's probably sent them broke.
Yeah, true. True. So they went from Yamahas to Aprilias. That would have been the last change.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just figured
in
that
out. In 2022.
2022, R&F Racing. That's funny because you actually have one of their merch polos.
Yeah, that's correct. Well, they weren't R&F back then, were they? They were called something different.
Patronus
Yamaha. That's right, yeah. Same owners though. R&F was the cryptocurrency, I believe.
Okay. Shit ass livery as well.
It was a shit livery.
And Lorenzo signs Maverick Vinales as his golden man. Have you seen Lorenzo's posts on Instagram? Bro, yeah. It's a fucking pisser. It's like the biggest me show for Lorenzo. He's like in a turtleneck. And he's like in a turtleneck. Maverick Vinales is sideways on the speedway track. And it's like a photo of him like looking down on the speedway track, like writing notes. Like, you're not writing anything, cheeseburger. What are you writing? You're just there for clout, bro.
I love it.
I love it as well. What, I think it's
two
the best.
Titans of the Moto, like meme MotoGP. Like the two biggest memes in MotoGP history.
Two biggest Motorsport Republican memes have actually collided to take us down. It's actually all about us.
But yeah, I mean, I know for a fact that Vinales does have some unbelievable talent in there.
Yeah.
So hopefully the cheesy will get him on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, they're like the brothers of destruction. We're like the Dudley boys.
Yes. Yeah. Scotty too hottie style.
But I'm loving it. I'm here for it. And I actually really hope they do well together. I really do. Because I think it's hilarious.
Yes.
Lorenzo's posts get me. Fuck me. They're so funny. Go on. What do we got?
All right. Let's jump on to hot takes, everyone.
You're reading it out this week.
Yes, I am. Maddie Stevens. Thank you. You're a contender for... what are we calling it?
Number one ticket holder of the year. It's been called for the past 2 years.
Thank you. Who won it first year?
It's called Papa.
Who won it second year?
This is second year.
Oh, right. Okay.
Fuck it. We've been going for 3 years, haven't we?
Jeez. Yeah, but we didn't do it the first year.
We
only had our four fans.
Getting held back.
We only had our four fans the first year.
Yeah. It was a slow burn at the start.
We know who you are, those four, though. T-Shavs, I'm rolling around in a bit of a stinky car at the moment. How can you help me?
Doesn't surprise me, mate. James, I have the product for you, my friend. We have Motorsport Republica air fresheners. All your favorite drivers and riders.
Phil Marquez, Rossi, Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri.
All the famous ones we have. We've also got t-shirts in stock. So if you want to go run in your Motorsport Republica t-shirt, James, you're more than welcome to.
Can I sink beers in it?
You can do anything you want with it.
Ah, yeah, I like that.
So jump on to motorsportrepublica.com.au. And guys, it supports us. It supports the pod. And we really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Matt Stevens. McLaren didn't pit under safety car because they didn't want to double stack Lando. There has got to be a little bit of truth in that, I think. And that's the rumor mill that's sort of surrounding this.
It makes sense.
Yeah, I think, and I'll say if the roles were reversed, they definitely would have come in.
You did say that.
James Sean _Van_Niekerk.
Jesus.
99. Moto2 championship predictions, your top five, please.
Fuck.
Shawnee didn't say please, but I'm saying please.
I need to see who's fucking racing next year, bro.
No. Come on, we can do this. All right, I'll go first then.
All
right. David Alonso is going to win.
Yeah.
Manu Gonzalez is going to finish second.
Yeah.
Senna Agius third.
Jesus.
Barry Bottas fourth. You with me now?
Yeah, Barry Bottas.
And then
fourth.
I think Alonso Lopez new team will finish fifth on the championship.
No Holgado.
No. He's going to get injured mid-year.
Fuck, bro. That's your boy. All right. I'm going to go. ChatGPT quickly has just definitely not helped me at all.
Shouldn't need it. Come on.
I need the list, bro. Yeah, fucking, you can't. I need spreadsheets like you.
No, it's all here.
I'm going to go. David Alonso is going to win it.
What? Can't steal my idea.
David Alonso is going to win. I'm going to go Holgado second. Gonzalez third. Agius fourth. Baltas fifth.
you just changed the water around, but that's fine. thanks, Shorty. Appreciate the question, mate. Maybe we'll get James a bit.
We're what up do you
to
mean?
Scratch Moto2. Moto2 is main game for me, brother.
It's your one. But that's what I think is going to be top five.
D Silver 87S all the way from South Colorado.
Carolina, you fuck. You're the South.
Pecco finally wins a race next year. Oh, sorry, D Silva. I'll read it again. Pecco finally wins a race this year. Alert the press. Obviously, the Rossi's ranch, yes, which we're going to cover a little bit in the extra chats. Willie Nels, is the Rossi ranch a celebration of Rossi's ego or a Trojan horse for the rider market?
That's actually a good take. I like the Rossi's ranch, and I think I actually think it's a bit of both. I think it's good for the ego. And I think doing the Rossi's ranch is a bit of a Trojan horse to find talent. But he's only going to pick Italian talent anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Like, what's his name? Diego Moreira is a motocross god, flat track god. Probably one of the fastest people there. He's not just going to put him in.
Someone got airlifted to hospital as well, broken neck or something. Jesus. Crazy. Unbelievable. So they don't do it for fun.
Must have been
it's
the one Japanese
thing.
Rider there. Well, the Aussies did well. Senna and Jack had the Lawrence Brothers kid on, and Jack almost should have won it. And I think his bike blew up, and Senna and Pedro got fourth. Pedro Acosta and Senna Agius teammates. Yeah. Wow.
And they were both Miller and Agius wearing Alpine Stars. What was that?
Yeah, that was the Lawrence boys gear. Agius, what got picked up is because Agius was wearing Alpine Stars, but Ixon don't do dirt gear.
And
he wears Alpine Stars boots. So you're going to naturally wear Alpine
bit of
Stars.
Bit of a homage, yeah.
That's a tism right there, bro.
Caleb _Bedville. McLaren are a midfield team with a fast car.
Oh, so like the two drivers are midfield drivers. Harsh. Mm. Probably a bit harsh. Like Lando's been thereabouts for a few years now. But they certainly have the fastest car, but not the fastest driver.
Maybe, yeah, they haven't got fierce team competitiveness in the brains up here because they just keep making these dumb decisions. And they're not racers, how do I put this? They're not true, like Michael Schumacher, Max Verstappen,
to the death races where they will just cut you while you're down, that sort of thing. They're not like that. It's all fairness. It's all 2025. It's all Thornbury, hairy armpit style.
Let me ask you this question. If Lewis Hamilton was in that car this year, how would he go?
Nowhere. He'd be fucking out of the top 10. He's fucking shit. Fuck. Fucking hang the boots up. You're fucking out in Q1. I mean, seriously. Ridiculous. Hang up the boots, mate. Clint _ East Forest. Fabio is no better than Pecco.
Oh, harsh. That's a hot take. That is a fucking definition of a hot take. I don't believe it at all. No, I think Fabio probably lacks a little bit mentally. I think he's got better the years have gone on, but they both have. But I think Fabio's got more talent. I still think Fabio Quartararo is the second fastest rider on that grid. Mm. What he's doing on that Yamaha, bro, is fucking next level. For a bike that's 25 horses underpowered everyone else, like he and what he does in a one lap and what he's obviously he struggles in race pace because that's just Yamaha just doesn't perform. I think... Yes, he is one of the only riders that can take it to Marc Márquez, where we have seen that Bagnaia. This is the first year Bagnaia's had to really competitively race Marc Márquez and crumbled just about every hurdle, where young Quartararo really took it to Marc. Obviously, still, Marc had his measure, but yeah, there was more
incredible.
Signs.
That was incredible that season from Quartararo on the Petronas Yamaha. I mean, looking back at that was incredible. He was the only guy that was there or thereabouts all year.
Yeah. And he had really bad luck as well. His chain came off or whatever, and Jerez almost could have won that race.
Yeah.
So, like, I really do think that Quartararo is easily the second best rider on that grid. It's just a shame.
I think he's, James, is you overrate him. Oh. Good qualifier. But he's no, I think him and Pecco. Talent in the race is very similar, like Clint said.
I think he said Pecco was better.
No, he said Fabio is no better than Pecco.
Oh, no better.
Yeah,
sorry.
So they're about the same.
No, I still think Quartararo is better.
All right, JUD14, Alex Marquez won't score a single podium in 2026.
Oh, take. fuck.
So he's skipping the 25 bark, isn't he? So he's not gonna get. He's gonna just get a shiny new 24. That might actually benefit him. He's used to. He's been riding that bike all year. And it's just gonna be a nice shiny one.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No, he's gonna podium. He's definitely.
No, he'll definitely have a podium.
I'd be fucking shocked.
Yeah.
If he didn't.
Derek Hall. The KDM will be behind Honda and Aprilia next year. More of the same from Pedro. Yam last.
KDM will be behind Aprilia and Honda.
Yep.
Yeah.
See how hard it is to follow the questions, James? Now you get what I'm saying. I'm talking, and it just goes through what it is.
It's the tism. KDM
will be behind Honda and Yamaha next year. More of the same from Pedro. Yamaha will be last.
They'll definitely be behind Aprilia, for sure. Going behind Honda, I think they're going to be there or thereabouts. Like, Pedro Acosta is the exception to the rule. He's going to be ahead of those Hondas. He already is. He's going to be ahead of those Hondas. Like, KDM going to pull their finger out. Like, we understand that. But he's
I think
be
what
faster.
Derek's trying to say as well is
as
that
overall,
the KDM will be behind them in pace, but Pedro will be up there, defying the odds. More of the same.
Yeah,
than
I 100% agree.
Yeah, I agree as well. B. Rothberg, is this the biggest choke in motorsport history?
What's he talking about?
He'd be talking about McLaren.
Oh, in motorsport history, I don't know. We've seen a few good ones. Quartararo choked fucking 91 points for Pecco Bagnaia to come back. Aigura should have easily won the title in Moto2 and threw it down the road at the Aigura corner.
Yeah, there's a few. F1, probably not as many. I'm trying to think of a few. Maybe Hamilton 2021. Nah.
Jesus, had to throw him under the bus again. You already
James,
ran over
didn't
him.
I tell you it was going to implode? Did I not tell you?
Bro, you said it.
I tell you, no one believed me.
You got laughed at.
I know.
You got laughed at by a lot of people.
The head of Ferrari's come out in the media and said, no, stop talking, more fucking driving. You know, that's imploding.
Is that Mr. Ferrari La Ferrari?
Yeah. Yeah, rest in peace.
Yeah, you know, to your credit, you said it was going to implode this whole time. You never gave it a shot, and you're right.
Okay, Sam Saal 21. McLaren will fumble their driver's title shot by making it fair. Max will win the title result. I think we've covered that. I think we agree. We hope, but I think Lando will still probably Nip it in the bud.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, Jack Giles. Oh, he's back, Jackie boy.
Jack Giles.
Nice to see you again, mate. I think he's come back just in time for number one ticket holder.
Yeah, fair enough. Don't blame him.
Bribe.
Yeah, you can just let us know.
2027, two rookies will be at Primark, Top Rack to Factory, Miller to be a development rider.
I like that. I like that a lot.
And the rookies will be Guevara and Aegis.
I still like that. It could be on there. That could be an early crystal ball moment. A Top Rack to Factory, Quartararo's out, two brand new riders in at Yamaha, like a Guevara and an Aegis. Guevara's already in there, like Yamaha Prima Primark program.
Yeah. I like the two rookies in a junior team. I really like that.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in a long time. I think it could definitely work for sure, especially with those early years of the first year of the new regs.
Frosty.heat, Bags and Martin won't be competitive in 2026. Jesus, just look.
Fuck, talk about his riding them off.
Huh? It is, but the thing is, he's right. I mean, there's just so many storylines. There's so many different riders. I mean, there's three positions on the podium. You know, you got Marquez is going to have one of them. You got Alex Marquez. You're going to have Pedro Acosta. You're going to have, you know, Bezzecchi. I know.
Fuck me.
It's just. Yeah, it's going to be so competitive.
It's funny you say that. I'm thinking, well, who's going to be competitive? You're right. Fucking Bears.
You've got Raul Fernandez fast. You've got Ariguro in his second year on the bike.
Berman Aldeguer, Alex Marquez, you said. Like, there it is.
They're going to have 25 bikes, Aldeguer and Marquez.
Hot seats. Yeah. It's a hot seat. So,
if you're finishing on the podium next year, it's like I'm winning a race. I'm telling you, it is going to be so hard.
Yeah, well, and you've got two spots to be on that podium because there's a certain number 93 that's probably going to be on it just about every single time. So, good luck to a lot of those riders. But yeah, just going back quickly to Pecco and Jorge Martin, like they got to pull their finger out. And bro, Jorge Martin has got a long road to go. A long road to go.
Yeah.
He needs results.
Don't write him off just yet.
I think I've already written him off like two pods ago.
Nikki D, 3604. If KTM loses their satellite team, will they stay in MotoGP for more than a year?
Yeah, because another team will want to... people want to get on that grid.
No, it's all about CF Moto as well. You got to remember them coming in. So.
They'll get another team. That's no issue. I don't see that not happening. No.
All right, thanks, Jimmy Boy. Guys, jump over to Hot Takes. Extra chats on Patreon for another 20-minute to 30-minute chat.
Yeah, we're talking manufacturers review this year.
Yes, we are. Thank you. All right. Thanks, guys.
See ya.